Chapter 6. A Visit to Amelia. Back in London, Amelia had only one thought every day. When would George Osborne come to visit? The truth was, George rarely came. He was generally at his club playing billiards or cards, or drinking with his friends. One day, Captain William Dobbin visited Amelia and found her in the living room, looking sadly out of the window. After they had talked for a few minutes, she asked, "Have you seen George today?" "No, I haven't seen him," Dobbin said. "Perhaps he's with his sister. I will go to their house and ask him to come." Amelia waited and waited, but George didn't come. He was out playing billiards with some men from his regiment. Amelia waited a little longer, and then did what she usually did when George didn't come to visit. She wrote him a long letter. She had been sending George so many letters that the men in his regiment had begun to laugh at him. George didn't want his regiment to know that he was almost engaged to Amelia. He had a reputation as a ladies' man, and he liked it when the younger officers gossiped about his many love affairs. Dobbin was the only man in George's regiment who knew the truth about him and Amelia. One day, Dobbin entered George's private apartment in the barracks and was horrified to see George lighting his cigar with one of Amelia's letters. "Are you or are you not engaged to Amelia?" Dobbin asked angrily.
"What difference does it make to you, Dobbin?" answered George indignantly.
"I'm asking you because I'm your friend. Amelia is a sweet girl, and you have been treating her badly," exclaimed Dobbin. "When you have free time, you should visit her, not your club or gambling houses. Do something to please her, you fool. Go and visit her. She deserves that from you, at least."
"You're right, Dobbin," said George. "I know she's fond of me. I'll go tomorrow. I'd like to buy her a little present, but I've no money left."
Before George could finish his sentence, Dobbin took some money out of his pocket and gave it to George. I believe that George really did intend to buy a lovely piece of jewellery for Amelia. When he went to the jeweller's, however, he saw a very handsome shirt pin for himself and spent Dobbin's money on that instead. When George arrived at the Sedleys' house, Amelia flew into his arms. She noticed his new shirt pin and was happy that her handsome lieutenant was wearing such a beautiful piece of jewellery. Amelia and George sat and talked of their future together. George said he would leave the army and they would buy a nice little house in the country. In this way, he assured Amelia of his intention to marry her. 2 hours later, which George thought was plenty of time to reassure Amelia, he told her that he had to take care of some business. Amelia, of course, didn't know that George's business was only eating a pastry in a fashionable coffee house, buying a new coat and playing billiards. After playing billiards, George returned to Russell Square to have dinner with his father and sister. After dinner, the two men sat and talked. Old Mr. Osborne suddenly said,
"George, what are your plans regarding the Sedley girl?" "I think, sir, that's not hard to guess," said George with a satisfied smile. "I'm a modest man, but anyone can see that she's very fond of me."
"And how do you feel about her?" asked his father.
"Well, you almost ordered me to marry her," said George. "You and Mr. Sedley decided we should marry years ago."
"That's true, but people's positions change," said old Osborne. "It's true that Sedley helped me get started in business, but my success is due entirely to my own talent. I owe him nothing any more. Sedley's company has been losing money recently, and unless I see £10,000 from him as Amelia's marriage settlement, I don't want you to marry her. That's all, George."
Old Mr. Osborne started to read the evening newspaper, which George knew meant there could be no more discussion of the subject. He said good night to his father and went to drink and gamble before returning to his barracks. The next day, George received a long, affectionate letter from Amelia, in which she mentioned that her father had been quite depressed when he returned from work that day.
"Poor little Amelia," thought George. "Oh, what a headache I've got from the punch I drank last night."
Of course, it didn't occur to George to inform Amelia of what his father had said regarding their future.